What's up, Runaways? I have one question for you. Who's going in the box? Runaways After Show starts now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yes.
This is the song. Okay.
This is my favorite.
I like it.
It's such a good song. Don't Run by Mr. Little Jeans. That's what it's called. Look him up. Look him up. It's Tuesday. You know what that means. Runaways on Hulu. You guys excited? Yeah. It's a new year, 2018. Heck yeah. I'm so happy.
Wait,
to be
I know.
Here.
I'm excited. I'm excited for everything. Every time it strikes midnight, though, on Tuesday nights, I have to watch Marvel's Runaways. I'm not even joking.
Same.
I can't.
No, it's 9. It's 9
on Monday.
For California.
Yeah. Well, it's always midnight whenever I see it on Hulu.
It comes on 9 o'clock, though.
Really?
It's
this
legit
whole time I've been waiting till midnight for
Let
nothing.
Let me ask you a question, guys. Look, when you go to Hulu and you go to episodes, it says this will be available on this date at 9 p.m.
Wow, I've been waiting an extra 3 hours of my life.
She is not playing today.
Well,
the things we learned today, guys. I love her.
Anyway, thank you guys so much for tuning in to the Runaways After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Give us a like, subscribe to us on YouTube. Give us a great review on iTunes as well. Like, subscribe, comment. We don't have Ashley, or we're missing Ashley right now, but she's in the chat, so shout to her. Follow her at Ashley Brinkman. But let's introduce the rest of the panel that is here tonight.
Hey guys, I'm Shay Jones. You can find me at Real Shay Jones on Twitter and Instagram.
Hey everyone, I'm Mina Wahab, and you can find me on Instagram at Mina Makes Magic.
That's right, and I'm Oliver Jenin. Follow me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer. And tonight we're doing episode 8, Tsunami for Runaways. I'm sorry for the holiday break. Well, not sorry for the holidays. I love the holidays. But there's been a little bit of confusion. We're doing episode 8. I know 9 is out currently, but not all of the panel is up to speed, unfortunately. But this, you know, the holidays just screwed everything up, okay? But anyway, let's get to this right now. Tsunami.
I love that there's a code word to it, by the way.
Tsunami is also, it's Marvel's imprint that the comics utilize to appeal to the fans of manga. Because if you read the comics, then, you know, you see a lot of the manga influence. And it's very Asian styled as well. So it was also cool to see them utilize that word, the imprint, and make it a code word for a tragedy, which was the death of Victor, or was it? What do you guys think?
I guess we won't find out for a while.
Like, okay, so it can't, just like, dang, though, I just, dude might be dead. That's kind of crazy. I love how all the Pride members are showing up, and Chase is like, why are you all here?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why are we not calling the paramedics? Like, does any regular person be asking these questions?
Yeah, I was also surprised that they didn't call the paramedics, because I feel like the Pride also is kind of, they have, like, keys to the city. Like, they kind of run the city, don't you think?
Yeah, but any gunshot wound has to be,
I guess, that's true.
Has to go to the police as a report. So yeah, unless you got Detective Flores.
But yeah, they have Flores. They have connections.
Their argument was that, you know, it would be a terrible look considering the gun was registered to Nico's dad.
Yeah. And the world just found out that Nico's dad and Janet Stein are having an affair.
And Victor Stein is on the floor right now because his wife Janet just shot him because Victor was coming after Chase. And it was so freaking scary. I'm like, oh my God, James Marsters, you're scaring me. But it was really cool to see all the Pride come in together, and they're kind of figuring out what to do, and they have to call the Yorks. Speaking of the Yorks have just let go of our girl Molly, which is so heartbreaking to see. And that scene with, you know, Molly, they have to let her leave her at Graciela, and Molly is not having it. She is pissed off.
Yeah.
She yells at Stacy. I love me some Stacy. Bridget is killing it in that role. She reminds me a little bit of Miss Frizzle from the Magic School Bus, don't you think?
God, her hair, so everything, funny. Yes. Her hair never changes, but I think it's awesome. Like, it's always in the back bun, and it kind of does remind you of Miss Frizzle.
She looks just
like
her.
She's so doe-eyed, too. She's always, like, she always has, like, these puppy eyes where she feels so sad, and I don't know why. They're still, like, she's my favorite mom out of all of them.
Yeah, I actually do like the Yorks, despite, like, what they're doing right now, because kind of what they're doing, instead of going to Joan about Molly, they are protecting her in the best way they can by getting her out at least for a little bit.
But, like, I agree with Molly. Like, until that happens, bye-bye.
Oh, my gosh. Shout out to Ashley. She's in the chat right now. She said she reminded us that Molly yelled at Stacey, bite me.
Which is, like, such a double entendre. And just, like, because you just know. Glowy. I just love it.
It's so funny. Because, oh, my God. My heart broke for when she said that. But, she just said, bite me. She didn't say, F you, Stacey.
Right. But I guess, for a 14-year-old to say, bite me, and then, like, you got, like, two kind of innocent parents-wise, they barely cuss themselves. I don't think I've even heard them cuss at their children or around their children. So for that to, like, kind of happen, she's, like, taken by surprise.
Yeah.
Like, that's a strong language you just used.
I feel like they're the type of parents who are like, oh, my. Oh, gosh darn it. Like, they're just so PC.
Well, the Yorks, they got the code word tsunami, so they had to haul it over to the Steins residence, and they find, because they're the doctors, apparently, you know, because they went to med school.
But she's like, it's like 90s.
In the 90s. It was so funny, because she had such good lines, Bridget. She had such good, like, one-liners, and I loved it. I was dying at, and then a freaking Kevin as Dale, he's killing it as well. So I'm just such a fan of them. They need to come into studio, guys. You guys got to hit them up, tweet them.
Say you have to come. We appreciate it.
Yes, we would love to interview you guys because you're awesome.
Okay, so when we first got the co-war tsunami, obviously Catherine and Jeffrey show up. Mm-hmm. And can I just say the fact that, like, Catherine seems always the most put together. Like, she's almost like Tina. Like, she's always put together. But, like, when she's talking to Jeffrey, her hood comes out. Like, in the sense, like, you see what attracted her to him when she was representing him in jail, mm-hmm. and how that just, like, there's some hood in her. There's some hood in her. Like,
of course.
And it's awesome to, like, watch.
It's cool to see that come out, because she is, like you said, so professional. And, like, and Jeffrey kind of, he turned a new leaf. I think they kind of, like, balanced each other out in a way.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Jeffrey was locked up. And now they're making money, you know, they're kind of like, not really the leaders, because I don't know, well, Leslie's the leader of the Pride, but...
Tina feels like the leader, though.
She thinks she's the leader.
Tina feels way more like the leader than Leslie does. And I still don't understand the relationship Leslie has with Jonah, it just, like, freaks
what
me out.
What you mean?
It's just weird, it freaks me out.
I was just like,
wait. Not, like, I don't understand, like, I don't get it, like, it's gross, like, that's what I mean.
No, I have to say, somebody... Bowles 98 in the chat said, I love when Molly was like, he reports the weather for Southern California. It's not that hard. That was obviously the point.
Honestly, that is so true.
That's like, okay, the weather.
You have to be a meteorologist. 98%, what are you talking about?
No, 90%, it will be sunny in California.
Well, it's cold right now.
For 2%, no, it was actually really nice today. The sun was out.
Cold.
No,
it's cold right now. Well, anyway. Things take a turn for the worse when they invite Frank in, because Frank, you know, he's all a healer now, and, like, he can heal people. You know, we've seen him resurrect people in the past episode. So, but it fails. He kind of, like, tries to make him come back to life, but it doesn't work. And lo and behold, Jonah comes out of nowhere.
Right, and rolling in his Rolls Royce looking.
He looks so scary up in his tuxedo, or his little suit, whatever. And... you know, we come to find out that we need a sacrifice, because Victor's dying. He's lost all his blood, and who's going in the box? Janet's apparently going in the box. So, who do you guys think? Do you think it was right to accuse Janet, or do you think someone else was expendable more than Janet?
Like, that whole situation, I love how Dale's like, this is not Survivor. We're not going to, like, choose somebody off the island. But technically, you kind of are, regardless. Like, somebody's about to die in the situation.
But question. What does Nico's dad bring to the table? Like, honestly, I'm not, like, saying this in a sarcastic way. Like, I don't really know what he brought to the table with Pride. Like, every one of them has some sort of contribution. Mm-hmm.
But we also don't know his background that much either. We don't really know Tina's and Robert's work background as much as we've learned more about how Victor and Jenna met, like, how that transpired. She could have been an inventor. She could have been, like, she could have been Victor.
I mean, Janet, I'm sure, has a brilliant mind, because she was in the same school and the same classes when she met Victor. I feel like she has that scientific mind when it comes to inventing things. Mm-hmm. But
her and Robert both kind of, like, have the same route they ended up in, because they're kind of in the shadow of their spouse.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, Robert's and Tina's, whereas
just
Janet...
take a backseat.
Yeah. And she really got the hard end of the stick, because she was abused for all those years, whereas, like, you know, she had to manage Victor Stein, or Victor, who's, like, he was on Time Magazine, wasn't he? Like the man of the century.
And won the philanthropic award twice. Mm-hmm. So, and like, you
and
know.
And Chase will be an orphan, too. Right. We can't have that happen.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then you have, you know, you have the other parents, like, you could have come to us, but which, like, she's right. Which one of you would have stood up to my husband? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Which one of y'all was going to do it?
No.
Because
it was so cool seeing Janet, like, grow some, for lack of a better term, balls.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And she was just standing up to everyone. She was like, shut up, Catherine, going after Tina. I loved it so much. Because you think that she's like a timid, quiet little thing, whereas like she has some fight in her.
Even Dale, she didn't want to go down. I never thought Dale had fight in him until maybe like the last couple episodes. I felt that way, but I love how Dale's
vibe
is like, yeah, like I helped him come up to this too. You can't incriminate me at all. Like I'm still valuable to the pride.
No, he's like, I did a mind altering drug, and then we're just like, wait, we did a mind altering.
Oh my gosh!
Just so you guys are confused. It was both of us.
Yes, Stacey.
Like, we are relevant. But I love. He's like, I like you came up for my children. No, I refuse. Like I don't even know how to use this gun, which makes me even more unpredictable. Like I give it up for Dale for like even doing that because like it takes, for lack of another better word, balls. So like these, all these powerful people, and you know you're scared to pull a gun on them. But then you had, like, as soon as Jeffrey came on the other side, you was like, he got the drop on me, honey.
It was so cool seeing them, like, turn against each other for just, like, a little bit. And shout out to Renji in the chat. He said, Tina versus Leslie. Who would win?
Tina, okay, for sure. Okay, first of all, that scene was everything. Because Leslie came, she grabbed her earrings. That's a sign a woman's about to fight when she grabbed the earrings first. Let that be said. But, like, Tina came with the staff, so Tina's gonna win that fight.
That staff has some really good, some interesting, mysterious capabilities, so I don't think Leslie would stand a chance against. Unless Leslie has some powers of herself, which I would love to see if that's the case. But my pick would be Tina for sure. She got the freaking staff of one. She can do some spells.
And she's Japanese, so I'm pretty sure she got some martial arts in her. Like, not just to be, not to be, like, profiling, but she looked like she can kick some ass, not just with the staff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Clearly, this was a more pride-centric episode, as we're finding out. We really haven't talked about the Runaways yet.
I mean, we mentioned them, but...
Yeah. We will, don't worry. But no, I definitely agree that this was all about the pride. But I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing more of the Runaways, and especially in the freaking finale, because I know that's going to be a lot more Runaway-centric, I think.
Yeah, and we might even see them run away.
Oh, I hope so.
And this is the first time they actually mentioned the name of the show.
Wrong episode, girl. I skipped ahead.
I could not wait.
Well, I can argue the fact that Molly kind of ran away in this episode, don't you think?
Yeah, she did.
She was left at Graciela's, but then Molly ran away because she needs to find Alien, but she found Alien.
She's always had him.
Yeah, exactly. And Alien actually means God. So I wonder if that has something to do with...
Interesting.
Yeah. Her elephant?
Yeah. The alien means God. So, you know, she ends up at, like, a train station because there's a locker. And then she finds this tape. This mysterious tape. What's on the tape? We're going to find out.
Yeah, she's like, what is this device? It's a cassette.
It's a VHS, guys. Yeah.
Like, well, she's 14. She's like, what is this strange antique?
I kind of miss VHS.
Me too.
I really,
yeah.
Like,
I like popping it in.
Right?
Like, just that feeling of, like, your Disney movie's gonna play. God.
It was so awful, though, whenever the tape, like, got ruined. You're screwed. You have to throw it away. You have to go buy a new one.
There's this really funny YouTube video of, like, this dad giving his kids, like, either cassette VHS and having them figure out how to put it in the player. And they're like, they can't do it. And they're, like, trying to listen to it and, like, shake it. Because, like, no one uses them anymore. I just think it's so funny.
Oh my gosh. We need to bring VHS's back, that's for sure.
I do agree with Ashley in the chat.
Oh, what'd she say?
She
says,
I have a new respect for Tina for saving Robert, even though he cheated. And for that scene, I'm going to talk about, because I don't know if it might just be me, guys, in the chat, but I actually cried during his speech because it was like he's a heartwarming, he's an honest guy. He really is, even if he did cheat, he's really just an honest guy. And him to be like, I lied to you. I wasn't there for my daughters. I couldn't protect my daughters. Why should she lose her? Like, why should she lose her son protecting him?
Yeah.
Like, in that moment, it was just like, I had respect for Robert.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm a little upset that I couldn't understand the Japanese, though. I really wanted subtitles under that.
I didn't need no Japanese. I didn't like you. Really you felt it, though. You didn't know what. It was like watching telenovelas. You don't know what they're saying, but you're in it.
They translated the Spanish. I did not need a translation for the Spanish. I speak Spanish. I needed a translation for the Japanese.
I don't need it, but I don't even know. I don't speak that much, so I can understand it, but like, I don't know what the hell they're saying on telenovelas, but I'm just like, oh, she did what now? I don't know what's going on, but I am so involved. I don't even care what's going on. Somebody about a baby, maybe, or like Two-Face sister. Maybe she a twin. I don't care. I'm just like, I'm so involved. I don't care what they're saying. Keep on going.
No, I agree with you, Shay. Like, I have a lot of respect for Robert. He's kind of attempted to sacrifice himself in order to save Janet, because Janet hasn't lost Chase yet. I feel like, you know, Robert failed Amy. Amy died, unfortunately. And then he lost Nico. You know, Nico's not really close to her parents. And he didn't have anything to lose after losing his kid. And, you know,
he lost all three, basically.
Yeah, lost Tina family as well. And so he's ready to sacrifice himself. He doesn't want to see his lover, Janet, even though Janet doesn't want to be with him. He's so ready to just, like, leave this world and go ultra, you know, see the light. And in a way, I kind of wanted him to.
But you know, like, even when they kind of offered Frank up, Leslie, Leslie has no heart whatsoever.
She was like, that would be good.
That would be kind of fun.
That's not the worst idea. I was like, Leslie, I agree. Like,
I think, can we mention the fact that
that would be really bad for Virginia,
like, is he back now? Like, and then, like, either Frank just didn't hear it, he didn't comprehend it. Because my question would be, what you mean back now? When was I here? Was I part of the pride before?
I had a feeling that he was a part of the pride, but, you know, they used that serum on him. And that serum has been doing wonders on him up until now.
Now that Jonah's back.
Exactly. Yeah. And he saw the picture, that creepy picture with Jonah's old and Leslie's like a little girl. And I'm like, oh, this is so creepy. But yeah, clearly Jonah's not aging. So we still don't know exactly what Jonah is. He's just some kind of strange being with immense power.
Yeah.
And we're going to find out soon, unfortunately. Or fortunately.
I wonder if... I kind of keep getting Voldemort vibes, and I keep thinking, like, he keeps coming back to life, you know? It's like the Horcrux thing.
He has a nose, though, so.
Yeah, that's the only thing. But no, I keep wondering, like, if they didn't revive him. Remember how he was in that, like, incubator, whatever that room was? If they didn't revive him, would he have come back to life on his own anyway? Like, did they need to do that? Did they need to bring Jonah back? Like, would he have come back on his own?
Oh,
why are they so loyal to him?
Somebody in the chat actually understood the Japanese. He basically said he knew he screwed up. He didn't know she still cared about him that way and asked if they could start again. Thank you, Biles98, for understanding that. What was said? Awesome. I assume that's what it meant. Because, thank you for understanding.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, we have yet to talk about Alex and Nico in this episode, because this is when we find out, you know, something about Amy. We find out how Alex knew about the password, and Nico is just, like, pissed at him, rightfully so. What do you guys think about, you know, him withholding this information from Nico for at least 2 years since her death of Amy?
I have two feelings on it. I understand why she's mad, because as a girl, if it was my sister, I'd be pissed. However, she shouldn't put the blame on him, because they'll soon find out that she really didn't commit. Obviously she didn't commit suicide, so it's not his fault. It should be the fault of whoever killed her. And like, he did what he thought was best, and like, he kind of was right. For 2 years, you acted like I wasn't here, and I was hurting too.
Alex to Nika, right?
Yeah, like, I was hurting too.
It's very true.
I'm not saying that just because you're her sister and I was her friend, like, they should match, but my feelings matter too. And he made a promise, and Alex is a good person. If he makes a promise, he kept it for a reason. It wasn't to be cruel, it wasn't to hurt her in any way. Obviously he loved her since he was 11. So
yeah, we saw in the flashback that Amy was just like, when are you gonna ask my sister out? So kind of confirmed that Alex has always had these feelings for Nico. And I was predicting that he was in love with Amy or something.
Because,
you know,
he switched
because they spent so much time, they're playing video games, and it's cool to have someone that's like, has similar interests to you, but apparently they were just friends. And I think she's a little bit older, but that doesn't really matter. But, you know, this whole time Amy was trying to sell secrets from, you know, her mother's organization to make money, but then she just basically really wanted to, like,
one up her.
Yeah, exactly. Beat her at her own game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe there were, like, feelings of not being good enough, or, like, you know, she never got, like, that validation from her mom or praise, so she felt like she had to compete against her.
Yeah.
For approval.
It's very interesting. But I still want to know, why didn't Alex go to the funeral? I know everyone grieves in their own way, but I feel like there's something there that... Because I don't think they mentioned in the episode why he didn't go. What do you guys think? Or did
I feel like maybe he did go. He just...
Like on the sidelines. Like
he hid so bad in the back, like nobody saw him.
Yeah, he hasn't said anything, though, why he didn't go to the funeral.
Because he also feels guilty for what happened, that it would be too much. Or maybe he was involved to an extent where he didn't want to run into anyone or be a target. I don't know. Maybe we're reading too much into it.
There's a lot of reasons why he couldn't go on to the funeral. Guilt. What you just said about maybe like being the next target, because like in his mind he still thought she committed suicide, so he does believe it was his fault for not saying anything sooner, for not, or actually just being on her all the time and being around her.
Yeah, I just wonder, because I know this is skipping ahead a little bit, but the episode ends with a couple cliffhangers, but you know, Amy, the night she died, she runs into someone, and we don't know who that person is. So what were your guys' thoughts on that? I'm thinking right now, Jonah. It's Jonah. Girl, didn't even let me finish my sentence.
I'm like, because we are on the same thought.
I was thinking Jonah.
It was the kind of the cut of the person. It looked like he was wearing a suit.
Or even Kincaid, even.
I don't think Kincaid would do that, though.
But Kincaid's
trying to protect her.
Okay.
Because my theory is Tina sent her that text.
Tina sent her the text?
Yeah, if Kincaid's number is already saved to the phone... And it comes from unknown. Only two people who knew she'd be involved is Tina and Kincaid.
And I feel like that would be a good way of humanizing Tina, because so far we've seen Tina in a very, you know, like, abrasive light. And, like, until recently, until this episode where she kind of protected her husband. But I think there's another reason she protected her husband. I think in some ways they become more valuable when they're a unit as opposed to just her and the Pride. It's like a way of increasing, like, numbers.
Yeah, I don't want to think of, I feel like there is, you know, Tina is really scary, but she has humanity. She's not completely evil. That's not the case. I mean,
she cried, like, when.
Yeah, there's something that they're not showing us yet, so I refuse to believe that she's, like, 100% evil. Like, I don't.
And there are no, and I don't there want, are no villains, remember? Yeah.
Exactly. Angel said that. There are no villains. I don't want to believe that Tina is the reason why Amy died, or she set that up. I'm trying so hard not to believe that.
I think she tried to protect her in the only way she could without, you know, still giving her a shot. Because, like, even Tina didn't know, like, Amy was in her bed like that. She had no idea.
Maybe.
But, like, once her daughter died, she's not stupid. Like, if I gave you a warning, yet you end up dead, within a couple hours... Yeah.
Maybe she had to do that in order to protect, you know, her family. You know, Amy kind of, like, was the price to pay, like, Jonah in order to, you know, save themselves, essentially, maybe. So, as hard as that might be, you know, it's just a horrible situation, that's for sure.
And then, like, having Alex watch the video of them, and when Nico finally comes back and they're talking, he's like, it seems like our parents don't even want to do this. Like... Because, like, and, you know, she asks how, if they didn't want to do it, why they're still doing it. They, like, stuff like I said, you still have to find out. There's so many questions. So I do not agree with the end about what Chase did. I will not condone that at all.
Yeah, that was awful. I wonder if in later episodes, I guess this gets to predictions in a way, but in later episodes he might do the whole time machine thing to go back to that moment.
Possibly.
But that would explain why he did the... time machine thing to tell his dad not to use the fisticons, because he still loves his dad. It's the catalyst. If nothing else, using the fisticons was the catalyst that gets the ball rolling.
Yeah. Well, because remember we saw the image in one of the earlier episodes of the entire city crumbling.
Yeah.
I feel like that, like what happened there is what's leading up to that, but... I also feel like it's Jonah's mission to destroy the world, because that's what it seems like right now. But there can't be, like, any way that that's the end goal. It has to be something else. But that's what it feels like. It feels like his mission is to destroy the world and rebuild.
I'm just gonna...
What do you guys think of Chase really trying to get behind his dad? You know, his dad almost tried to kill him. You know, Ivan in the chat, he's like, Chase is protecting his abusive father. Like, why?
Because he thinks that that's not his real father. He even says that he's under the influence of whatever Jonah gave him. And I think it's because he had those few moments with his dad earlier on in different episodes of bonding that he saw a different side to him, and he wants to believe the best in his dad. And it's totally understandable that he is defending his dad, because he thinks he's not in his right mind. Yeah. Like, there's something that's causing this terrible behavior.
I agree with that as well, because you want to, like, when your parents who are abusive gives you, like, that, like, a day or 2 days of just, like, genuine, like, concern and caring and wants to be involved in your life, mm-hmm. it does make you think of them differently. It makes you not think of them as a monster, especially, like, him knowing that the brain tumor is what is caused, like, the mood swings in the first place, and he was just hiding it from everybody. And then, obviously, Dale, when he crashed, like, it was a withdrawal from whatever... Even from the little dose mm-hmm. that he got from Jonah. From that full dose that Jonah gave Victor, he crashed hard back to...
his old ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of, well, not Chase, but Chase had an interesting route in this episode because he calls Gert. You know, he doesn't want to be alone. He calls Gert first. Gert's not picking up because she's downstairs with little old Lace.
That was so interesting, by the way.
Like, and then he's going through, you see Eiffel. He goes see Carolina. He calls Carolina. And, you know, I think he still has kind of like a crush on Carolina. You know, he kissed her in the previous episode. But he doesn't want to be alone. So Carolina and Gert kind of link up. But I did love the scene with old Lace coming up to Gert's room. She's like... just sit anywhere. And then Gert, or not Gert, old Lace, she's just, like, looking around, and then she, like, almost, like, crushes, like, her chair. I love
that
scene.
She's like,
stay! She's like, wait, no, not there. You're gonna crush that. And then old Lace just kind of, like, plops down, like, on the floor. I love seeing old Lace in action. But yeah, it was really cool seeing Chase pick Gert first, you know? And I think don't think at this point he realizes how much he... you know.
Needs Gert.
Yeah, and...
But what caused that? Because it felt like it came out of nowhere. Like, there was no sort of indication, other than the comics, that he was interested in Gert.
I mean...
Like, it was always obvious that Gert was interested in him, and that's where, like, the little chemistry was, but he was kind of... I almost feel like he was ignoring it in a way because he knew he was that she was into her. It's like that annoying thing. Like, you have a big ego when you think someone's into you that you don't really have to try versus... you know, guys who just like the chase as opposed to, like, the attention.
Play on words, huh?
But I think also, you know, after the death after the death of Amy, Chase was kind of like, he wanted to get away from his friend. So maybe he had feelings towards Gert, you know, previously. But, you know, he had to think about himself and his popularity and him being a jock. He was on the lacrosse team. So maybe he just tried to, like, forget his past. But then, like, Gert and the rest of the Runaways came back into his life. And maybe it brought up more feelings, and, you know, he doesn't want to be alone at this point. You know, his dad is dying right now. Mm-hmm. And so I think it showed a lot. It showed a lot of his character to and his feelings towards Gert, you know.
To be the first one
he called.
Because as much as he does, or he thinks he likes Carolina, I also was just thinking because they had that secret and he kept that, but it's also, I feel like it's misplaced. Like, even the first episode when, you know, Gert and him were having that conversation about her tutoring him. Like, there was chemistry there. They've always had chemistry. But, obviously, he just never noticed. Or he, like, you know, like, kind of, you know...
Yeah, he didn't think it was a big deal. Because he got everything up front.
But, like, I feel like if whoever your first call is when you're feeling down, that shows your true feelings no matter what.
Yeah.
The first person you call that you know is going to make you feel better, who will be there...
Mm-hmm.
That says a lot just about, like, just if you're not paying attention, your subconscious is letting you know.
At least it means it's the person you feel the most comfortable being vulnerable with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which could be different from the person you're attracted to or like the most, you know?
They like each other, regardless.
Yeah, they do.
Well... Well, this is a really interesting conversation. I think that we tried to do a segment for a really long time that we never got to. So we're going to talk about ship wars right now. So you guys, or I'll go first. The people that I ship most of all at this point are Nico and Carolina. And yeah, I'm sorry, Alex, but I personally really like Carolina and Nico because it's just like Carolina really, I feel like she really likes Nico a lot. What do you guys, who do you guys ship?
I ship Gert and Chase, okay. But if we're talking about Nico, I do ship her and Alex.
Okay,
I won't be opposed if her and Carolina get together, but I will ship Alex and Nico.
Okay. Yeah, you ship Alex. You said Alex and Nico.
Yes.
Yeah,
but I said Gert and Chase first. So
who do you ship, Mina?
Honestly, I really do like Alex and Nico together, despite their recent falling out. Like, there's just something about the dynamic where Alex genuinely cares about her so much, and I feel like there's just something there. But with Gert and Chase, I want to see it happen. I just hate how one-sided it is. So once it balances out, if it balances out, I should say, then I'll definitely approve of it. It's just, I hate, like, you know, Gert chasing Chase without Chase reciprocating.
Yeah.
So
I think there's going to be a shift soon, though, I feel like.
Yeah.
I think so. And chat, we want to know, who do you guys ship? I'm thinking, like, I do want
Thank you, B. Lou. I think it would be
great for Alex and Nico to end up together. But I feel like the direction of their relationship is so interesting to watch because it's way different in the comics. You know, I think Nico, like, she really loves Alex. She ends up really falling for Alex in the comics. And I'm wondering if that's going to happen in the show.
Mm-hmm.
It might not. But, you know, I think, you know, Shay said something really good just now about there being a shift, and I'm really excited.
I do like Carolina and Nico as well, but I wonder, like, it just almost seemed like it came out of nowhere, like with Carolina just suddenly getting infatuated with Nico, but we never really see them having conversations or talking. So it's it's like weird in a way for that to happen without us seeing any of their like conversational chemistry or like any of their even nonverbal chemistry. It just felt like it went from zero to, like, 100.
So for me, this is how I only can see Nico and Carolina even getting together or hooking up. Mm-hmm. So this is how it's going to work. She's going to continue to be mad at Alex, which shifts all her... She just wants to piss him off. So I feel like she'll not want to, but she'll use Carolina's feelings to get back at Alex.
Okay,
we can neither confirm nor deny what happens, because we already saw episode 9.
Interesting.
That's interesting, though.
Yeah, I don't want her to use Carolina. Carolina's too
sweet.
I really
don't want her to either, but I'm not. It's not like she.
Or maybe she's going. Maybe she won't use Carolina. Maybe she'll actually find something good in Carolina. Hopefully, that's what I would hope. Me being a lover, I'm hoping that happens.
Who do you think would pursue whom?
Between Carolina. Carolina was going to pursue. Once she, like, fully comes to terms and comes out, I think it's going to be a full force court type deal.
Well, there's someone who we don't ship, Old Lace and Chase. That was so funny seeing Old Lace. Old Lace hates Chase. It's so funny.
I think it's because, she sees what's going around. Gert. So she's trying to protect Gert as much as possible.
Yeah.
But, like I said, I really feel like there's going to be a shift for Chase because without the whole everybody, you know, being around Chase, the whole popular crowd, he actually gets to be the person he should have been before Amy died. Like, he should, like, be building mechanics and all this. He should be almost becoming his being his dad and his mom's son. Like, he's an inventor. He's smart as hell. He shouldn't have to hide it, which is what I like about him and Gert. Because even though she does call him an idiot, like, you're not. You're smart.
Yeah.
There's so many qualities that is good about you that you shouldn't have to dumb
yourself
down.
You can still
be
an idiot, but, like, academically.
That is true.
Like, he's an idiot.
He's an idiot because he's a boy in high school.
Yeah.
Most
boys in high school are. I'm so sorry, chat room. It's true.
We've all had our moments.
So no one ships Leslie and Jonah anymore?
Oh, God, girl.
I'm kidding.
Have you ever shipped them? Shame on you. I mean, don't get me wrong, Jonah is still hot. Like, somebody in the chat thing was Ghost said Cole 2.0, which I totally agree.
It feels like some Tuck Everlasting stuff right here.
But I don't ship them as much. I'm just like, it's like they're two toxic ass people in this weird spectrum that just never fucking ends.
Ooh. Shay is not having it tonight. No Leslie, no Jonah. Are you jealous of Leslie and Jonah tonight?
No, like, just have you ever in real life seen two people who are just totally wrong for each other, yet they're still like in a relationship they shouldn't be in because they're too toxic, but two wrongs don't make it right.
Leslie and Jonah.
Yes.
Well,
yeah, I'm glad no one said Justin and Selena because I love them.
I do too. I'm not that sure. Let him work through his problems. Let her work through her problems, and let them just be. That's my
Well, you know, this episode comes to a close with Tina destroying the box. You know, there's no sacrifice, and I was kind of disappointed. I was really hoping that
there was
a sacrifice.
You wanted a sacrifice?
Let me finish. It raises the stakes. Like, okay. I feel like we left it on, like, it was kind of just like, you know, like, nothing really happened. Like, everyone's safe. You know, as much as I don't want anyone to die, because I was like, oh my God, Janet, I'm seeing Janet. You know, she's standing up for herself. But at the same time, I wanted something dire to happen. You know, Victor, nothing really happened. It's kind of like, okay, no more sacrifice. It's like...
I'm surprised Jonah didn't get massively pissed off and just killed Tina on the spot. You know what I mean? Like, he said it was mandatory to sacrifice someone. Mm-hmm. She decides to override Jonah's authority and think that that's okay and have it actually be okay. Mm-hmm. Like,
that's insane to me.
Because I feel like at that point, like, seeing maybe Janet could fix it. Like, she gets to, she's like, I could have been an inventor. We can actually see what she can do.
Yeah, I'm just interested in seeing what Robert's going to go from here, because I feel like his...
Chase could even do
because
it.
Because his send-off would have been, like, so great, like, that he did the ultimate sacrifice, you know? So that's why I was a little disappointed in the ending. But also, Alex is able to decrypt the laptop. But Chase, as we mentioned, he crushes the laptop in order to save his dad. Because
it was a tire fight. Let's mention the runaways.
See, this is what happens. This is what happens when Molly leaves. Like, the team is not complete. Everyone is at each other's throats. It's not okay. You know, Nico's still pissed at
Molly.
Alex
brings them together.
She really does.
She's the best. Like,
she grounds everyone. Link. You know.
Who do you think? Like, which runaway do you think we have the most to discover about? Like, has the most in hiding?
Runaway or Pride?
Runaway.
I would say...
Or Pride, because with Pride, I think it would be Frank. But for runaways, like, who do you think?
For Pride, I'm Frank, Tina, and Robert.
Yeah, I would say Frank the most.
For the runaway, I want to say Molly, because we don't know much of her past. And we don't even know if she's going to be a mutant. That's huge for her character. In the comics, she is a mutant. So, you know, there's a new Disney has Fox now, but also Alex, something's not right about Alex.
That's how I feel.
The reason why I think about this is not only because I know about the comics, but I feel like Alex is just a little bit too cookie cutter. There's something not right about him. He's the least interesting character to me. Yeah. And I think they're doing that for a reason.
And I feel the exact same way. I feel like they try to make him seem normal. Yeah. Like, even in terms of, like...
He doesn't have
a
power.
If you think even, like, very simplistically, like, the way he dresses, like, it's just, like, very, very normal, like, cookie cutter, as you said.
Yeah.
And I do think that that is something that is being intentionally done. Yeah. Because he's so smart, and even with the password situation... He tries to, like, hide everything. He keeps a secret for 2 years. Like, what else is he keeping?
Exactly.
You know, there has to be something.
What do you think, Shay?
I didn't think Alex, but maybe because I like the fact that he's, like, the smart one.
The normal
like his,
one.
Like, his strength and his power is his smart.
That's the same as Chase, though.
Yeah, but Chase
is actually a creative inventor.
Yeah, he creative invents. And Alex, like, he does wonders with the computer. Like, he was able to figure out what happened to Amy's computer in, what, like, 20 seconds?
I also feel like Alex is the smartest of all of them. I really do. Like, I feel like he can figure things out.
Yeah, he's the one who kind of, like, he's the puppeteer who brought everyone together in the first episode, you know, the reunion. So I'm interested in seeing where his character is going to go, especially now that he seems so isolated because, like, everyone's kind of mad at him. Nico's not feeling him.
I will say I want to see more Carolina. I want her background.
Okay.
In the sense of...
No, that's good.
If Jonah is her dad...
And why does she glow? What's up with that,
like,
y'all?
Obviously, they had sex, right? Let me explain something to you. I know how pregnancy works, right? But the fact that Jonah's little things glow... I need to understand how that
maybe
works.
Maybe she's immortal.
Carolina?
Or maybe part immortal. At least, like, half immortal.
That's what's called mortal.
No, like a demigod. That's
you
like,
mean, like, living for, like, twice as long or something?
Yeah, like, demigods are children of gods who are supposedly immortal. So.
Okay.
I didn't know there's a twin or half mortal.
Yeah, I wonder if...
Okay, you need to read Percy Jackson.
I'll see the movie.
I mean, you could.
I'll watch the movie.
I'm wondering if, you know, Carolina gets that power from Jonah, or if she gets that from Leslie. Because I feel like there's something about Leslie that we're not seeing, too. You know, she's kind of like the mastermind of the Pride. But, like, I wonder if they're going to give her a power. Because she has powers in the comics. You know, no spoilers, but... So...
Spoil it.
I'm spilling the tea tonight, y'all.
I was like, because I did watch the beginning of 9, I'm just like... expecting that.
You're going to love episode 9. It's the best episode
I watched kind of the beginning of that, but I'm just like, I was not expecting that. So let's state that first
of all. So, episode 9 is amazing. We're unfortunately not... We don't have time to talk about it tonight, but should we get into more predictions?
Yeah,
maybe, sure. Maybe we can talk a little bit about 9 without too much spoilers. Uh-oh. Ooh. We're Carolina
right
now. I
almost said giveaway. Uh-huh. But we'll do predictions. Oh, well.
When we, 2018
runaways predictions.
Okay, so who wants to go first?
Not me.
Who wants to get in the box?
Mina
get in the box.
I'm not getting in the box.
Ashley, she's in the box right now. That's why she's not here. Just kidding. She's in the chat, y'all. Ashley, you need to tell us your predictions, by the way. Yeah. Let us know, girl.
Yeah, send it in the chat. We'll watch it. I wonder what everyone else thinks about predictions. Whoa. Predict in the chat.
Yeah, give us your predictions.
Three, two, one.
Well, go. Molly's, she's going to find something on that tape, and I think that's going to be a very crucial piece of evidence. You know, she's going to come back, you know, in the next episode. We already see for the
I
promo.
I can't predict anything. I know, so, I already know what happened.
Let's try to let's predict more.
Shay has 15 minutes left.
Let's predict in more broader terms, I guess. Okay. I'm trying to say. Everyone's going to reunite. And I think we're going to find out the parents aren't as bad as they seem. Mm-hmm. I think we're definitely going to find out Jonah and why he has everyone, like, by the throat, basically. Everyone's so afraid of him. And I think there's going to be a crazy twist in episode finale. And it's so funny that Allegra's here and she was talking about there is a cliffhanger. Mm-hmm. But that's also broad as well. But I think that also means that it's going to leave things open. So maybe not a cliffhanger like, oh, no! But I think it's going to leave something, like, for the story to continue. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think?
I actually did not see the promo, so even though, me, Chase, and Gert get together.
Molly's
going to find out something about herself, mm-hmm. hopefully. That's so I hope we find out more just in the sense of Tina and Robert. Will they fix their marriage? Will they mm-hmm. not fix their marriage? Like, what's going to happen? Because you don't just save him just on a whim. You mm-hmm. could just let him die, personally. Yeah. So, as for, like, the rest of the pride, something catastrophic is going to happen. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like they all, whatever reason.
Another tsunami.
Yeah, another tsunami. Like, Jonah brought them all together, and Jonah's the one that is the only thing that is keeping them together. Because they all think that with the build of the new school, they won't have to deal with each other anymore. They should. But I feel like that's hopeful thinking.
That school is a scapegoat.
I really just think that's really hopeful thinking. Because if you really think for 15 years you were just going to sacrifice somebody and just get the school together and that was going to be the end of it, you're really stupid mm-hmm. for being the powerful families of Brentwood.
Mina, what, you got predictions?
I feel like I did and I missed it. I hope they name one of the episodes Jonah Tsunami.
Oh my
after God. Johnny Tsunami. That's like my only dream.
I don't know if it was Ivan. He said hashtag Jonah Juice.
Jonah Juice.
I actually like that.
Oh my gosh. I need a shot of Jonah Juice right now.
I definitely think that we're going to see like a greater... I feel like we're going to see the parents and kids coming together after being divided. Mm. But I also think the parents don't know as much about their own children as they think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
And I think eventually, my biggest prediction is that the time machine is going to have, like, really huge implications mm-hmm. for future episodes. And I think there's going to be a lot of flashbacks in episodes and a lot of mm-hmm. manipulation with time in general.
I don't think
it's, like, only... It's not the only instance where Chase warns his father about the Fistigons. I think they're going to use the time machine for so much more than that, just to be able to snoop in on the origins of Pride since the computer mm-hmm. is destroyed.
That's going to be really interesting how time travel is implemented, because it's not a huge thing in the comics, but apparently it seems like they're making it huge. And
yeah,
it was
I love that.
Yeah, and it's so funny that Victor Stein got kind of like the time traveling component to his character, because that was the Yorks. The Yorks in the comics were the time travelers.
Mm-hmm.
But I love what, I'm going to butcher this quote, I love what Victor said about time travel in a previous episode.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
I remember that.
It wasn't about, you know,
it's not about
moving forward. It's about staying in the present.
Yeah, it's not about like going back or forward. It's about staying in the present and mm-hmm. something beautiful he said.
And, you know, kind of staying in the present and noticing the beauty in the present, I guess.
Yeah.
And to benefit from the present, because it's not about, like
maximizing
you
your time in that way.
Yeah, we kind of butchered it. But we got the gist of it, so that's good.
ZSB Lou has a prediction.
Uh-oh.
He says, my guess is they tease a new season 2 runaway character like Amadeus Cho, Defiant Frostbite, Derek Morgan, Jubilee, Pixie, Kiara Pras, X-Men, Scar, mm-hmm. and or Victor Mancha for the finale.
Oh my gosh, that sounds crazy.
Maybe they're doing some cross promotion there then.
I know. Also, Ivan in the chat is talking about how it's like It shouldn't be called Runaways. It should be called Pride, because this season's been so much about the Pride. But I think the reason why they're, you know, focusing so much on the Pride is because another prediction. I don't think the Pride is going to last long.
Yeah.
That's
interesting.
After this season, there is going to be a lot of running away, and the parents aren't going to be there because, and also, like, I think this show is great because it's not just about running away physically. It's about running away from so many other things, like mentally running away from your struggles and your past, and not so much about physically running away from home. And, you know, there are runaways such as Destiny, and I think it's just like a huge wonderful metaphor that I think Josh and Stephanie were able to create, so I think it's awesome.
I have one mini prediction.
Okay,
what it's think? Based off what Mina said. I also think that if the Pride doesn't last, what they're gonna do, some they're gonna turn on each other, but they're also gonna try to get their kids and protect their kids.
Ivan also said in the chat that Pride will still be in season two, which
I mean, that's not a bad thing personally,
because they're phenomenal actors, and it's going to be interesting to see how they play with it with the kids running away. So I think that's not something I think is bad. So
like we obviously understand the show is called Runaways, it should be focused on the Runaways, but I feel like if it's only just focused on the Runaways, everybody would get bored. The parents give it the great dynamic that it needs to balance everything out.
And sometimes we're like more interested in the parents rather than the runaways, which is such a huge thing. That
it's like the synergy between the runaways and the parents.
Yeah, I was actually talking to Ivan in the chat, and my rebuttal to him was that it has a good balance of both the runaways and the parents, but it does make sense that they are focusing more on the parents because they're adults and they have more complexities to the characters, and they have more at stake than the kids. Like, not only the kids, I'm not sure what the kids have to lose, but the parents have the kids to lose on top of everything that they've built, which is the empire of Pride.
Yeah, and also that's a good point that you bring up, but also, you know, kids ultimately, like, the parents lose their kids and vice versa. So I think, you know, the kids are gonna have to like eventually be by themselves at some point, regardless of their parents, you know, staying alive or not.
And no matter where they run, this world is still a scary place.
You're so cynical. Oh, my God.
But, for real.
Like, you can run, but you can't hide. Like, that's literally what it sounds like right now.
That's a true effing statement. Like, am I lying? Like, if you're running away from a cushy place, the world will scare the hell out of you regardless. Like, you trying to run from your parents, from being murderers or genocidal people, I don't even care no more. But seriously, I'm really serious, though.
No, that's very true. The world is, it could be scary, it could be so stressful, girl.
I'm sorry for being saying the truth. Mina's just getting on me facing
it. And on that note, we're going to have to start wrapping things up. Sorry to leave.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
2018, the world is a scary
place. I hope you've been
enjoying
our conversation.
Oh, my gosh. Well, guys, we're going to have to wrap up now. So one last time, Shay, you need to talk about this amazing giveaway that we're doing.
Again, guys, we're doing such a great giveaway. So this right here is a sign comic book from all of our guests we've had coming in. We will have a very, very big special guest coming to join us for the finale, and possibly even a couple different special interviews after the finale. So stay tuned. Check out all our social media for all that info. So to get it, if you have iTunes, go to iTunes Podcast. You'll find us under Marvel TV Weekly. Give us 5 stars and leave a review. If you don't have iTunes, I understand people have Android, so just leave a comment under this YouTube video with a comment, 5 stars, and what you liked about the episode, what you didn't like, if you like what we're saying. We like hearing them. We do reply, so we love hearing it.
Yes.
Happy New Year, everyone. 2018 is going to be amazing. Follow me on Instagram, Mina Makes Magic.
Again, I am Shay Jones. You can find me at Real Shay Jones on Twitter and Instagram, and Love Shay Butt on Snapchat.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I'm Oliver Drennan. Follow me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer. And also, shout out to Ashley. She joined us in the chat. Send her your best wishes because she's sick right now. So thank you so much for tuning in, Ashley. Follow her on all her social media. Happy New Year, guys. Hope you had a wonderful holiday. We will be covering episodes 9 and 10 next week. The finale is going to be big. Like Shay said, we have a special guest. It's going to be awesome. So we love you guys. So bye, y'all.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network.
To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.